Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Jen.
Good afternoon, Bob.
I have some announcements here.
Okay, great.
Bring conscious compassion and awareness to your Saturday tasks and any project you choose at our at-home working meditation day on March 30th. Projects are a lot more enjoyable when we do them with Sangha, so join us for a day of fun and awareness. All proceeds benefit the project in Cantalumba. Our reflective listening...
I was just going to say, that's a win-win, right? So, because it's been forever since we did an at-home day. So getting to gather again for one of those very fun days and all the proceeds go to Cantalumba.
Yeah, I love that because, you know, I mean, my experience is like I sign up for something like that and I'm just doing it really just to participate, and I kind of goes all around. You know, I get to give some money to the project in Loma, and I get to be supported all day long by Sangha.
Yep, amen.
All right, and our Reflective Listening Buddies program offers awareness practitioners unique support. It requires participants to show up for themselves and another every week for 30 minutes. A new quarter of this popular program begins April 15th. And Sangha is once again invited to our spiritual home at 4 Acre Zen Center in gorgeous Squim, Washington. This year's Summer of Sangha includes week-long and weekend retreats from June 14th to August 18th. A full schedule of yoga, meditation, guidance, workshops, groups, and self-guided practice will be offered. Registration is limited, so sign up soon. And as was just announced, it will be possible to accept precepts with this practice during the Summer of Sangha. And for these and other practice opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And if you'd like to get in the queue to talk with Jen tonight, press *6, then 1 to make guest show and get in the queue. And just a reminder to try and keep the conversation on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes is great. All right, we're going to get started here, Jen. First guest. Okay, I'm going to move on to the next one. First caller, you're now live on the air. Will you please introduce yourself? First caller? Sure.
Hello.
Oh, there it is.
I am. It's Janice in Vancouver.
Oh, hey, Janice.
In Victoria. Here I am. Yes, what a glorious day. So I wanted to just say some good news. I signed up for the Keeping Commitments Buddy. And I'm just having so much fun seeing what I see. And even in this call, this is another thing, just before the call, I thought, I remember seeing that and I need to re-sign up. And I went to the site and it's closed already. Because I guess there's a limited amount of people that can do it, right? And that just happened to me maybe originally trying to sign up for retreats and things, not realizing I have to be a bit quick on off the mark.
They're awfully popular.
Uh-huh. Yes. And then there was just this second kind of where I saw myself kind of go, And conditioning couldn't really get in there and say, well, you should have done whatever, because I was signing up when I felt, I could. Mm-hmm. And, I had 2 minutes before I was just waiting to be on open air. And I thought, I also want to re-sign up and do the working meditation. So in that little gap of no self-hate and redirecting attention, I just signed up for working meditation.
See? There you go.
What a success, because
Exactly.
Just no time to lose to, you know, when you redirect the attention,
yeah.
when I do,
yeah.
I something else just fills that gap from life instead of being stuck in conditioning about regrets and too late and some self-hate coming in.
I mean, truly, the practical benefits of awareness practice right there in a nutshell, right?
Right.
So, as you say, you know, it drops in to go and re-up for commitment buddies. You go to do that. You follow the prompt. Oh, my goodness. It's already closed. Okay. So no conversation about it. No going to regrets. No going to self-hate. None of that. And then it drops in, well, how about the at-home retreat? There you go. Now you have something to participate in.
Yeah. And can I just say, I'm trying to keep to one topic, but getting back to the commitment buddy,
yeah.
what I did was for the first month, I did one thing. And then the next month, I did the same thing plus another thing. And then for the third month, I've added something. But all of the things are ways to bring me back to the moment or ground me or be in my body. And they're, none of them are onerous. Like, they're all fun.
Mm.
They're all fun. And I get to see how conditioning would like it to be the end of the day, and maybe I'm not quite done, or that I don't have enough time until, you know, to get it in, and that I just drop everything and do it all. Or sometimes I've done it all, and I've actually forgotten to text, something like that,
uh-huh.
you know.
Uh-huh.
And again, yeah. there's just zero opportunity for the self-hate to be getting in there, because it's you know, it's all for me. I'm not doing it for anybody else, you know.
And, you know, it really underscores why it's such a brilliant format to practice the Sangha in that way, because you're practicing a muscle, right? The muscle of not going to self-hate.
Mm-hmm.
Self-hate always has a way to bring it around to itself, right? Look at me, you know, you did this wrong, you did that wrong, that could have been better, you know, anything, right? So something like that happens, especially, I mean, you do every commitment and then forget to text about it. Ooh, you know, you did all the whole thing. You do get credit for it. And not going to self-hate is such a great practice and such a simple and, I would imagine, pretty low-stakes way to practice it, so that in other places in your life, when that comes up and it feels more real, you're all practiced up and ready for it.
Exactly. So yeah. I'm very happy to have had that opportunity, and I will be quicker off the mark when that chance comes around again. And meanwhile, lots of other opportunities happening. Like
exactly.
Just enjoying
exactly.
it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that no regrets piece is so big also. Another one that serves us so well to practice that. No, you know, no. As you say, I did it when it dropped in. I went to the website. Okay, good. And now you have a piece of information. Oh, it's a very popular program. Okay, well, all right, awareness. How about drop that in a little sooner next quarter, okay?
Exactly. Yeah. Thanks so much. Thanks, Jen. Thanks, Michael.
Thanks, Janice.
Gassho.
Gassho.
Thanks, Janice. And Janice, I can't mute you, so if you could mute yourself or call back in, that would be great. And I love that conversation, Jen, because it seems it's just a great modeling of, like, you know, what now or what next, you know, rather than,
mm-hmm.
you know, letting conditioning get me to, you know, either self-hate or what should I have done differently or anything else, you know. It's just, okay,
yeah.
well, so that's done, so what now? What next?
Yeah, exactly. And it really does. I mean, very often, if we do get waylaid by that conversation, the possibilities are obscured from us. And we don't even realize that because the possibilities are obscured from us. So we don't even realize that there are all these other possibilities that are right in front of us that we're not seeing because we're off in a conversation with conditioned mind about it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, huge practical side benefits to that.
Sure. All right, we have another caller, Jen.
Okay.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Will you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Jen, it's Anne in Colorado.
Hey, Anne.
I am in a relationship workshop. Just to give you a little content, I was married for 17 years, and about a year ago we got divorced, and the last several years I wanted more emotional connection, and I have, in the last few months, I've reconnected with an old high school friend, and there's a lot of emotional connection, and this person lives 1,000 miles away, so it's more on a, you know, once a week kind of thing. And I'm looking at my attachment and like craving of this connection, and seeing my human experience of like wanting it all the time. Mm-hmm. And I'm just, I don't know. I don't know how to get out of it. It feels a little like obsessive, and you know, and I've recorded and listened about it, and I can see the compassion for this human that is, that, you know, sort of for the last several years, like wanted that from someone and wasn't able to get it. And here it is. And there's just this like, yeah, just desire. And, yeah, I'm just not sure what to do with it. It's kind of taking mm-hmm. over, it feels like.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it sounds like, I mean, you use the word workshop. That's such a perfect word for it. Because what a workshop, really, to have had those varied experiences. So to have coming off of several years of really wanting it and mm-hmm. feeling like you can't have it, and I project being it, so you're in a committed relationship, you're in a marriage, so then I imagine there can be a lot around, oh, I really want it and I really can't have it, right? Because I have this agreement with this person and I can't go find it somewhere else and all those things. And so then at some point, however that happened, a decision was made to change that. So now the possibility is open again, and you're starting to have some of that. And it sounds like as you have it, because it's not readily available, it's 1,000 miles away, so it's more like once a week, then that brings up the gut feeling like kind of grasping for it, wanting yeah. it when it's not there, wanting it all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's like I felt kind of deprived maybe for mm-hmm. so long, and then mm-hmm. now it's like, oh, here's an opportunity, yeah, and I still can't really have it as often as I'd like, you know.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like it's kind of the word that keeps dropping in is partly a workshop in receiving, because mm-hmm. I mean, it's so classic, right, that that grasping. Mm-hmm. That's such a ego process. That's what it does to us. Mm-hmm. So I would imagine, I mean, if you're having an emotional connection with this person that you've rekindled after all of these years, that's probably a lovely experience. Mm-hmm. I imagine there's a lot to that that's really beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, that's so what ego does to us. It gets us to focus on the lack side of it instead of the receiving side of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know. That has been the support I've gotten from lots of people. Like, just focus on mm-hmm. what you know, what is there and what you do have and what mm-hmm. and it's like, oh, my mind just, I don't know, like wants more. I can't mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a
yeah.
That's where the obsessiveness feels like, and
absolutely.
It's like I don't want to feel that way about it, but it's like that clinging. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And do you feel like you have other places in your practice where you've seen that the conversation that comes after you is coming after you simply because it knows that's what will feel real to you at the time, that that's what will get your attention?
I don't know. I can't think of an example, but I don't know.
Yeah. Well, the way you describe it, it's so classic. So it's not going to talk to someone who doesn't have that as an issue. It's not going to talk about like, oh, God, I really want to have that. I really wish I had that. I want that. I have that, you know. Mm-hmm. It's going to talk to you about what will feel real to you. So you have this beautiful, lovely mm-hmm. connection with this person that you sometimes have, and then, you know, 6 days out of the week you don't have it. And so to have that, to be talking to you about that all the time is a perfect setup for suffering. Because you're gonna be in that process of lack, of deprivation. I don't have it. I wish I had it. The process of longing. And mm-hmm. so, as you say, lots of encouragement, it sounds like, from people around you to focus on what you do have. But mm-hmm. that's easier said than done, because mm-hmm. the conversation is coming at you constantly. So it really does become the worthy opponent, doesn't it? It's that mm-hmm. place of you got to get in there and redirect the attention to where you want it to be.
Mhm. Yeah. It always goes back to that, doesn't it?
Well, and you know, you said something really important towards the beginning of the conversation, which was compassion.
Mhm.
Say more about the compassion that you're finding in the situation.
Yeah, just I mean, it makes me emotional, but just the I think just recognizing that, you know, it's okay to be emotionally connected to someone and to want that.
Yeah.
And just seeing that I'm human.
Yep. Especially given what you've been through in the last number of years.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think, yeah, the voices know how to, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, because really, you know, if we took it to, I don't know, what's the image, a little kid, you know, who's got, she wants attention. And the voice takes advantage of that and turns it into this obsessive longing.
Mm-hmm.
But what if every time that conversation came up, it was just a signal for you to just stop, turn, and be with yourself, be with that experience of it's all right to have an emotional connection. It's all right to want that. It's all right to wish you had that today.
Yeah. That feels more loving.
Mm-hmm. And that, you know, I think sometimes we get the idea that redirecting the attention is sort of this like, okay, no, don't do that. You've got to do this. But
right.
that is very much a redirective attention.
Yeah.
Because all that's happening there is not turning away from the experience, quite the opposite, really. You're turning right towards the experience. There's a way in which we think we're having the experience because over and over I'm getting dragged through it. But we're not actually even having the experience. It's in, I don't know if you did the recent email class, but there was a piece of it where Sherry did this imagery, and it was such a profound point that she was making. We were talking about pain, and she was saying, you know, almost no one has ever really had a headache. We know a lot about hating it. We know a lot about avoiding headaches. We know a lot about, I wish I didn't have this headache. But very seldom do we stop and actually have the experience.
Yeah, and it what came up was just like, you know, that sort of lifelong journey of mine of like more self-love and turning towards those feelings is just, it seems like an act of love towards me.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, you're turning, I mean, you're really doing what everyone's suggesting. You're turning towards the love instead of the longing.
That was helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, just taking really good care through all of it, you know, letting it be whatever it is as you go through it, as it evolves.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks, Anne. Take good care.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Anne. And Jen, we're going to break for good news, and then we'll come back and talk to more callers.
Perfect.
I guess I'm going to turn it over to you, Jen, and let me unmute your guest. You're all set.
Okay. All right. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Anna, who is here to speak with us about her experience of working meditation. Welcome, Anna.
Hi, Jen. Thank you for the invitation.
Yeah, thanks for being with us. So, very timely, given as we were just, Bob and I were just talking about, we will all have the opportunity to be in our very own homes and participating with Sangha in working meditation this Saturday. So thank you for suggesting this topic.
Oh, well, no, the heart just, it dropped in and it was like the heart just leapt. I love the way that.
It's like that click, isn't it? Oh, wait, that's it. That's it.
Like that non-separate dropping in, which is exactly, to get right to the point, the joy of working meditation, right? So training to live in what now life, and following the prompt. And the practice of working meditation as practicing, it's, you know, it's not about getting things done. It's about noticing how we do things, right? So just as we do when we sit on the cushion and we're just noticing and counting, it's like that training to be looking at conditioned mind, noticing conditioned mind instead of looking through it, right? And how that is an experience of being in capital J, joy, awareness. And like in the description for the at-home day on Saturday, fun and awareness and how those two go together, right?
Indeed. And, you know, it's, I think from what the way you're describing it, I was just seeing how being at home with, quote, my projects, even adds a whole other layer to it. I was sort of seeing it parallel to the conversation we just had with Anne. So how, you know, if you're on retreat, and you're handed a working meditation assignment, there's a way in which that is just ultimate fun because it's not mine. It's not, you know, I don't terribly, you know, probably, you know, you'll have what? You, I want to do a really good job come up, or, you know, I want to be the best, or, you know, whatever your process is that happens around that. But having your own my project in my house really does take it to a whole other level in terms of what you were talking about with practicing to let life lead. So instead of being in that conversation of either what, oh, I don't want to do this project, or I really do want to do this project and I want to rush through and I want to do, there's so much I want to do, and so, you know, whatever it is, and get to do that with the support of Sangha in the context of practice.
Mm, Oh, yes, yes, amen to all of that. That's exactly it, isn't it? Because as you say, on retreat, when you receive a work note, it's so clear that this is, you know, life's prompt, right? And then you get to see everything that you see about it. And it really is a big, just in the structure of it, a big experience of going beyond that identification with the illusion of the separate yeah. self and what I want and what I don't want. So it's woo, it's big, big expanded awareness. And then there we are at home with, you know, our stuff, our job or our chores or our dishes, right? And to train to be in that place, because the process is the same, right?
Exactly.
It's just,
exactly.
you know, on retreat, there's a structure that we train in, and then at home, we're training in the same process. It looks like there isn't the structure, but then we experience that the process is exactly the same. I actually have an yeah. example of that came up recently. There's the true joy of, you know, a big working meditation day, right, on retreat, mm-hmm. where it's just, you know, sleeves rolled up, and as you say, you're handed the work note and you get to have your experience of that. And then I had a weekend recently where I'd had a big week at work, and there was still an article deadline. So I had an article to write over 2 days. So I was like, okay, well, this is a little weekend retreat, right? And is this something that I want to be doing? Absolutely not. You know, if you ask me on Friday night, what do you want to do over the weekend?
Yeah.
I would not say this, and yet I've committed to something. Here's the deadline.
Yeah.
This is the time to do it. And of course, the experience is like, you know, asking what now life, and there's a prompt, and just being guided through this trail of revelation and discovery, and realizing at the end of the weekend, oh my gosh, I could never have designed that good a time for myself, because it would have been that self-will process, right?
Yeah,
and instead, to have the experience of, working meditation everywhere trusting that.
I love it, Anna, but right before you said that example, what was dropping in was, how life-changing if we were able to take the process that we can do on retreat and bring it into our own lives, our everyday lives, where we're being led in that way, where the structure, if you will, is a process, not a particular place or a particular, even schedule necessarily, although putting a schedule in place is incredibly helpful in that situation, and we'll get to have one on Saturday. But what you describe is so it, right? Just that, do I want to do this? No. Okay. Does that have anything to do with anything? No.
No.
This is what I'm going to do. So almost like you basically chose to say, actually, this is what I want. I'm going to choose to have this be what I want to do, and to really put yourself into it, and bringing that presence to it, you came out the other side of it with a sense of, there's no way I could have designed anything better than that weekend workshop for myself.
It's the absolute best. They're just the best. Just asking what now life, listening for the prompt, following the prompt. And to realize too that as you know, kind of murky and confusing and socks in the washer and real as it can seem when like I'm wanting and not wanting, the not wanting to do something is not going to lead to capital H happiness. And the doing something like in reaction to that in quotes I do want to do is not going to lead to capital H happiness. You're still in that world of duality, right? And so everything that assists us to experience what's beyond that. And I love at home working meditation days for precisely that reason, that there is a schedule and there is a structure, and also the ingredient of we're all doing it together, right? That extra support.
It's so true. It really does. So, yes, you'll be in your own home, and no one from Sangha is going to be looking over your shoulder, but you know there's people all over, in many cases, the world, doing it simultaneously. Mm. And then at the end of the day, we get to talk about it.
Oh, yeah, yes. Oh, my gosh. And the extra ingredient of we're doing this for our friends in Cantalamba. A win,
oh,
win, win.
So amazing. I know. With all the new endeavors that they're up to over there, and as Sherry wrote about in her recent blog, and I think it's up on the updates on the Africa site. And yeah, I mean, yeah, truly fun. Fun.
They got some big working meditation projects going on.
They've got some big working meditation projects going on. And, you know, they'll be there on Saturday, like they are every day, with their huge pots of Enshima, stirring them, doing the whole thing. So we can be here stirring our pots of Enshima, whatever that looks like for each of us.
Can't wait.
Love it. Well, thanks for being with us today to talk about it, Anna.
Well, thank you, Jen. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. And I'll turn it back over to you, Bob.
Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Anna. Just a quick word. I can jump in there about that, Jen. But, you know, one of the things that I just love about that process of doing at-home working meditation is that, you know, being at home and choosing the thing that I might have chose for that day anyway, and then getting just to see what would, you know, what's possible when the focus is on the process and the focus is on my on awareness, you know, rather than getting the thing done or finishing or anything else.
You know, that's so true, Bob. And people do all kinds of fun things with it. Like some people will choose something that, you know, taxes. For example, I've just realized, wow, this is kind of perfect. I didn't even think about that because tax day is really coming up. So some people will choose something that, like, ego has just been, you know, doing both things, right? You haven't done it. You better do it. Oh, God, you hate that. You don't want to do that. So some people choose things like that to get the extra support. Other people will choose something that they really want to do, but they're never really allowed to, right? Because it doesn't produce anything or it doesn't, you know, that's not, you can't just spend time on doing that, or you're no good at that, or, so there are all kinds of ways that you can use it to your advantage and use that, structure and the support of Sangha to choose what you want to choose.
Great. All right, and we have more callers here, Jen, so I'm going to bring our next one live.
Okay.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Will you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Jamie in Newark, Delaware.
Hey, Jamie.
Today and recently I've been looking at what it means to be present or to be in unconditional love, and I think that ties in with what we're doing on the year-long retreat.
Yeah.
And aware of that, talking about being present or being in unconditional love, which is, it points towards that, but it's not the same thing as being there. And I can see how my mind can so easily drift into thinking about things. Whereas presence is, I guess one can think from presence maybe, but it's slightly different. I think I'm starting to see that a little more.
And, you know, that's actually huge, Jamie, isn't it? Because in some ways it is very subtle. In other ways, it's worlds apart in terms of the experience because it is so different. To think about presence is a very different experience than being present.
Yeah, and I don't know that if I've ever been in meditation, I think I come the closest at times to being, or at least I think that I'm the closest to being actually present. But, you know, I'm still looking at it and thinking about it, but I try to apply it out in the world, too.
I want to ask you about that, but just quickly underline what you just said, because that is so true. I mean, we can't know whether or not we're present by definition, right? Because we're going to have to go back up to thinking, not being here, to think about whether we're present or not. So that does make it
tricky.
Yeah. And say more about how you're practicing with it kind of out in your life.
Well, I think this is related that I have a tendency to think when I'm out around other people, I think about what I should be doing, what they should be doing. This constant mental chatter for me, it's often about things not quite being right in some ways.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to draw back and watch my breath more and not get caught up in the emotions and the thoughts as much.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like I'm part way, like maybe I'm part way heading in the right direction, but I haven't gotten to the place where I'm totally in the present when I'm out in the world.
Well, that seems like a brilliant way to practice it. Because, again, that's so concrete. There you are. You're around a group of people or one person, whoever. You know, you're just around people. That's mm-hmm. We always talk about that's the highest level of meditation there is, right?
Mm-hmm.
First we sit right, and face a blank wall, mm-hmm. quiet, nothing going on. That's one level of practice. Then we stand up and we walk, you know, slow walking meditation. That's another level. And then we've got working meditations we were just talking about. But interacting with other human beings, that is the highest level there is. So you're talking
right.
about some very subtle high-level practice. So there you are. You're mm-hmm. interacting with someone, and you realize that there's conversation happening in the head. You know, how you should be, how they should be, how it shouldn't be. It's not quite right. It needs to be a little different.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see that, and you realize that's really different than just being here in this situation,
right.
And so you start to bring the attention back to the breath. I mean, that's perfect.
Yeah, it's something. It's something I'm working on. It's a work
yeah,
in progress.
All of us.
But it's
oh,
a perspective.
For all of us. Yeah.
The perspective that I.
Well, and I would bet,
I mean,
Jamie, that. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, that without this program. I probably wouldn't have that perspective, or at least I wouldn't have this be committed to it.
Yeah, that's my experience. Yeah, it is so unbelievably easy to forget.
Right. And reading a book about Buddhism and meditation is one thing, but practicing it and interacting with other people, and that adds another part to it.
Whole other layer. That's right. That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And I would bet, Jamie, that when you have those moments where you're interacting with someone and you realize the conversation's going on and that there, right there in that moment, you're here. You've dropped into mm-hmm. actually being here.
Right. And it may not be real long, but there's something.
Exactly.
Yeah, for a few seconds
yep.
I've dropped into it.
Yeah.
And I sort of focused on that today because the last few days I've noticed that a lot of very quiet self-criticism, and it was very quiet. And then so I started looking at that and seeing that it was all about wanting something to be different, or being here now, you know, it's a different experience, a different thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's a big clue, isn't it? The level of awareness that's being brought to it, that you're hearing these mm-hmm. very quiet conversations that probably the voices are used to getting away with, right? Because they're just back there pulling the strings and you're not really hearing it. But you're starting to really hear it now.
Oh, and if you can go into that very quiet, very subtle ego, the ego voice can be very subtle and quiet. Voice of the ego.
Oh, it can. Especially if you're paying that close attention. That's its only choice, is to get
yeah.
really quiet, right? Otherwise, it's going to be terribly
yeah.
revealed. Yeah.
Or try to take the program and manage the program. For
right.
supposedly for me. But yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad to be here. I appreciate Sangha and Living in Compassion
yeah.
program. And
yeah.
keep listening.
Good. Gosha. Thanks for bringing that up, Jamie. That's a fun topic. Okay. Gosha, well, thanks for participating today. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you, Jamie. And, Jen, I'm going to bring on the next caller here.
Okay.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Will you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Ramita in South Carolina.
Hey, Ramita.
Hello. I feel like a sock in the washer. I've just been tumbled and tossed and somewhat turned inside out today. So self-hate has been finding every crack to get in. And I'm not, I guess there's a desire to figure it out so I know how to change it. And yeah. As I'm sitting and listening, you know, I'm beginning to settle in and just recognize that I don't have a lot of control over that. And you just, it's like letting the mud settle in the pond instead of trying to find my way out.
Oh, yeah. Oh, exactly. Yeah, because an experience like you're describing, it really is sort of that quicksand place, isn't it? Where it just, on a day like that, when it just feels so real and it's just sort of everywhere, that we do get to a place of just letting that be the experience. You know, kind of back to the compassion place we were talking about with Anne.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I after the New Year's retreat, almost like immediately after, sort of one of the final processes we did in the one of the final workshops, presented itself again the next day, and I had this really remarkable clarity about a very old process. And I think some of that's coming up again now. It's all up to me, and I can't do it.
That's the process you saw clearly in the New Year's retreat that feels like it's coming up now again. It's all up to me, and I can't do it.
Yes, and the part that I'm feeling that I'm in touch with today is the I can't do it. There's this feeling of a lot of inadequacy and overwhelm and nothing quite going right. And I almost got talked out of being in the queue. You know, I'm sitting here in the queue thinking, hang up. I almost canceled conditioning is trying to talk me out of practice. And if there's anything that I've been learning and practicing within the last couple months since the retreat is I need to reach out in times like this. The habit
exactly.
Go inside and just close off.
Yeah.
And
I was going to say, as you're describing it, it's a miracle, right? I mean, to be on the call. And that's a really powerful place for us as practitioners and a dangerous place for the voices because they're bringing it all out, right? I mean, they're going for the big guns. And you're meeting it with practice. And especially if that practice, if there's no requirement to that for it to feel a certain way or to look a certain way. You know, you said earlier that there's this wanting to figure it out so that you can feel differently, which is like, who could blame her, right? So, you know, each of us has our go-to places. Okay, how can I change this? How can I get out of this? And it sounds like for you, one of those is going to figure it out. But instead of doing that, believing that, I mean, I'm sure that's going on to some extent, but you're seeing it and you're calling in and putting yourself in the queue to look at it instead of have it run the show.
Yeah, yeah, which is such a different approach. You know, all these years, I mean, there's been a lot of ego takeover of practice. I've been practicing for a long time, but it was, you know, conditioning had its grip on, you know, being the right person, doing it right, fixing her so that she could be the right person, kind of karmic, I don't know what you call it, the pattern and karmic pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to just trying, not trying, just practicing being here with it and talking about it without having it, like you said, look a certain way, or that's, it's, it increases the discomfort of ego.
Yes. Perfect. It, you know, what was dropping in as you were saying that was, okay, so, you know, ego takes over practice, which it does for everybody, and takes the form of, I'm going to be the right practitioner, I'm going to do this right, okay. And we, at a certain point, you start to see that. And now you're into the unconditional part of the program. Okay. Now we're going to practice with all of it, however that goes. It's not going to look a certain way. It's not, it doesn't need to feel a certain way. I mean, the mud is really the perfect image, right? That's such an image in practice. The lotus grows out of the mud. The mud has to be there. That's part of it. And so letting all of that be there and being willing to be with it, huge.
Yeah, to be seen as muddy and messy and... without clarity at the moment, but then that meta, I'm seeing it, and I recognize that's a new perspective, a new willingness to be with it, whatever it looks like. So,
and I don't know if this is available to you, Ramita, but one of the things I've seen in my own practice is having been in the place that you've described enough times that when it comes around again, there's a sense of, well, exactly what you said. Okay, I'm going to practice. And in this moment, it's kind of like, I don't know, there's some garden image that's coming around, or maybe that giant bamboo, you know, that we talked about some years back, where you water it, and you water it, and you water it, and you think, forget it, this thing is never going to grow. And you want, apparently, you have to water it, take care of it. For 5 years, it stays under the ground. And then within something like 3 months, it grows like 90 feet in the air. So it's on a day like this, you call into the radio show, you're just doing the practice. And my experience is at some point, this seed that you're planting right now with the willingness to practice with this right now will be part of your practice. You'll see how it's all part of it. And you don't have to feel any differently today about it. You don't have to see, have all, you know, any particular clarity with it today. But just having practice with it in that way is shifting something that we can't necessarily feel or touch or sense in the moment.
You know, you're reminding me of, your words remind me of an insight I had. Again, the garden analogy, you know, there's the difference between tending the garden and blossoming. And that the you know, like the seed changing into a flower, something is broken. Yeah. Something is lost. Something is that transformation process. It has, we could call it pain, but there's a loss of identity, that the shell breaking open, and
beautiful.
So, thank you.
Yeah, I think I think there's an Anais Nin quote about that, right? The the pain
too
is
painful.
Staying in the bud, too painful. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, the other piece with that that's so beautiful, Renita, is, and we're not in charge of that process. We don't have to make that happen. It will bloom when it's ready to bloom.
Yeah. And that's it's all up to me. There's that fallacy.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah,
because that's a hard, that, you know, those two things together are a perfect lock. It's all up to you, and you can't do it. That's a perfect lock. That's meant to be no escape. So to just say, okay, just uncle, and just sit right there, I mean, that's the perfect Aikido move.
Yeah. Yeah, what it's brought me to is just a real dropping into thy will be done, to surrender and just to keep letting go. It's not me.
Yeah.
It's not me.
Yeah.
And
this
is reminding me, and I'm so grateful to you know, without having to fix it, I come to practice, I speak my experience, and I find myself home again, that in that compassion.
Yeah, beautifully stated. You find yourself home again in the compassion.
Thank you, Jen.
Well, take good care, Renita.
I shall.
Okay. Gassho.
Gassho.
Thank you, Ramita. And Jen, I'm going to bring on our next caller here.
Okay.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Will you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi. It's Anne in Manhattan, New York.
Hey, Anne.
Hey. I'm very present right now.
Excellent.
I just tuned in because I'm like, oh my goodness, it's Tuesday and I'm not listening to open air. So I just literally jumped in 3 minutes ago.
Here you are.
And here I am. And that was just so beautiful what you were just pointing to, both of you. I was just practice brings us all together to grow, really.
That's it.
I'm not really looking at anything. I just was like, oh my goodness, it's Tuesday, I should call in. So then I put myself in the queue and here I am. So
that's such a fun process all by itself, isn't it, Anne?
Yeah.
First of all, it drops in, right?
Uh-huh.
That the show's on.
Mm-hmm.
And that you don't go to, there's only how many minutes left? I mean, you know, I'll listen to the archive later. I mean, you know. You don't.
Mm-hmm.
You call in.
Yeah.
Not only do you call in, but you put yourself in the queue.
Yeah. Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah, thank you. It's so grateful for all of this. I'm just sitting here with my dogs. It's actually very warm tonight, so it's nice. I was going to say listening to the show, but I'm actually part of the show now, so.
Exactly. Well, are you seeing anything in your own practice that you want to look at? How's your practice going?
I haven't been practice per se with the Sangha. I have been practice with my dogs, which always bring you to presence.
You're good that way.
Oh, they're magical. I'll never forget, before I had a dog, I always had cats. I'll never forget, I read a thing that Sherry had written about, a big shout out to her dog that showed her the magic of practice. And I'm like, oh, that's so cool. Never thinking I would ever have a dog. And now not only do I have a dog, I am a dog trainer. So there you go. Now I'm just grateful that we're all still all here doing our thing, showing up, being in the queue. Mm-hmm. And I guess what you just pointed to about just jumping in with however many minutes are left and being like, okay, I'll just put myself in the queue, never thinking I would get on. And then being, oh, I'm muted. Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, it really, I know you weren't here to hear the earlier conversation, but we were talking about how, I think the very first caller was talking about being part of one of the programs, Keeping Commitments Buddies. And
oh, yeah, that's a great program. I did that for two sessions. I missed out on the deadline for it, but yeah, go ahead.
Oh, very good. And that's actually part of what we were talking about, missing out on getting to sign up. But it was very, very similar to what you're talking about of, okay, well, what now, life, right? And that place of how when we practice with Sangha, when we practice things like you just described, okay, it drops in, radio show's on, I'm going to call. Not only am I going to call, but I'm going to put myself in the queue. And not only am I going to put myself in the queue, but I get called on. And here I am. Okay, yeah. Great. So just, I'm ready, life. Here I am. And that practicing those things with Sangha has such broad application for our entire life, getting to bring a process like that into our daily lives.
Yeah.
Because where in our lives are we getting talked out of showing up in that way? You know, life drops it in. Do we do it? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. And practicing, yeah, saying yes. And when we're called on, great, we're ready, we're here, we're available.
Yeah, actually there's something really nice what you just said about that. We're here and we're available. I believe in a prior life, before practice, I would have like just frozen and been like, oh my God, I don't know what to say. I didn't have anything ready. All those ego-centric karmic self-hate things. And I would literally be like a deer in the headlights. I still have moments of doing that, but not nearly as a lifestyle, let's say.
Oh, yeah. That's well described. Yes. I still have moments where that happens, but it's the tenor of the life is different. Now you have the possibility of, oh, here I am. And you're able to respond in that way.
Yeah, I can actually respond. Like I'm not afraid that I'll give the wrong answer because that was the place I would come from.
Yep.
That it would come from.
Yep.
The voice would be, oh, you're called on, like in school. You have to have the answer.
You have to have the right answer. Yep.
Yeah. So that's very freeing.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for being here. This is just the best thing ever.
It is the best thing ever.
After all these
together.
Years. I think it's like, I don't even know, it's like 17 years I've been practicing now, if that could be right.
Wow.
2008, maybe that's not, math is not right, almost. But yeah.
That is way too high level math for right now. Yeah. 2008 to 2025. It's a long time.
A long time. It's
nice.
It's
fun.
It
is nice.
Yeah.
It's really nice.
Oh, and what you pointed out about coming back home or something like that in the just the last end of the call was it does.
Yeah.
It's just this home.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's so lovely, you know, you said a minute ago listening to the show and then corrected yourself. Well, actually not just listening to the show, being part of the show. And that's a big part of being family, isn't it? That we get to hear each other's where people are in practice and checking back in and
I'm learning that. I didn't have that imprint as a child, so I'm learning that as an adult, and it's really amazing. So, community is fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
And Sangha, the Sangha, So,
All right. Well, thank you, Anne.
Thank you, Gesho, and
Gesho.
Everybody. Yes, thank you. Bye.
All right. Go happy.
Go happy, yes. I don't know how to unmute myself.
I got you there, Anne. Thank you, Anne. And that brings us to the end of this week's open air, Jen. Really enjoyed that conversation. I really love that idea of just something drops in and and just go with it. Right? There's no, you know.
I mean, it's huge. It really yeah. is.
Yeah.
It's huge. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it just yeah. it is. So
to practice it for even an hour a day or something.
yeah. Because then you get to, it's that place of like checking something out, kind of watching the process, and what yeah. if I just say yes? And then you do it, and then you think, well,
yeah.
nothing that conditioning had said would happen in the situation happened, and I actually had a good time being present at that moment.
Exactly. I mean, what we'll really find out is how unbelievable life can be when not in the control of ego, basically.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
what we find out when we do an experiment like that.
Yeah, yeah. And I think as you were pointing
out. How relaxed and...
Yeah, and then like I think as you were pointing out earlier, like how much more is possible when we're in that place that isn't either available or even visible to us when I'm in a conversation with conditioning.
Yeah, I was thinking about that when Anna was talking about the at home working meditation and that approach to a project that I have of just like, well, let me just see, right, and be completely delighted by what life sees in this project that I thought I knew how it was going to go and how it wasn't going to go, and instead turn it over to life and just be delighted by how it unfolds.
Yeah, that's great. All right, well, thank you
for stepping in, Bob.
Sure, and we'll see people back here next week.
All right, go happy.
Go happy.